You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Just while people are going out, is Lillian here? No? Yes, you are, Lillian. Upstairs. Lillian, do you want to share what happened yesterday? Where are you? She's coming. Okay. Lillian came out with us on the streets for the first time. And she had a good experience too. I know Lillian as this, big and bubbly person, you know what I mean? Yeah. As a really loud, sort of lively African Christian. But even you were a little bit timid yesterday, you said. Just tell us how it all went and let us know.
We went to St. Agnes yesterday for the evangelism, and I want to thank God very much because I was able to break out the fear and go and minister to the lost souls outside. And I encourage each one of you who is in Christ Jesus. I won't say that you who is an evangelist now, all of us have been called and you have been given a great commission to go and give out the good news of Christ Jesus. And I want to thank God that I was able to go and we managed to speak to a few people and they gave their life to Christ, which was very encouraging to me, and that made me feel that I need to do more of this. So I thank God so much for Pastor for also giving me an opportunity to go and minister to the people.
Okay. How many did you speak to?
I managed to speak to three who are really cooperative because some you talk to them, they will just like not talk to you. But those who are really willing to talk to me and to listen to the word of God were three. And by the grace of God, one gave her life to Christ, and her name is Shakia. So whenever you're praying for people, pray for Shakia, that because she has received Christ Jesus, that she will maintain the salvation through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So God bless
Amen.
You.
Thank you. Thank you, Lillian. I think of Lillian when I see her, and I think of Jim. You know, these bold, sort of courageous people that don't have any trouble. But as soon as it comes to going outside, even they tell me timidity and fear comes over. And yet they're two people that push through to share the gospel. And there's other stories we could tell. I mean, I was out there as well, and the first person we spoke to, I was with Jackie, and not my Jackie, Jackie Netto, wherever she is. First person, they were saved. They go to, I think it was Kerry Baptist Church. The next person we spoke to, they were saved. They go to St. Saviour's Church. And eventually we found some people that weren't saved, and we were able to share the gospel with them too. But it was just a really good experience. And I mention that because today I'm talking about partnering in the gospel. So I think if we could have the slide up, please, Anthony. We're looking at Philippians. We're going to start a series on Philippians. And next week, Debs will be picking things up. Then we've got Tom Hamlin coming. By the way, Tom, he's a guy in his 80s now. He's an amazing evangelist. He's bold. I mean, I guess he still has to get over fear, but you'd never know it. His stories are incredible, and I would really encourage you to bring friends to hear what Tom has to say. He's going to be speaking for 45 minutes, by the way. He asked for a minimum 45, sort of maximum as well, 45 minutes to share what he has to say. And I will ask him to pray for us because he's Mr. Boldness when it comes to sharing the gospel, and he's just seen the power of God and some amazing miracles, particularly among Muslims, not just in this country, but in the Muslim countries too. So that's in a couple of weeks' time, then we'll be back into Philippians again. Oh, we're up there. Great. Okay. So Philippians chapter 1, I've called it partnering in the gospel. Yep, Philippians chapter 1. I'm not on screen down here. Is it possible to get that or not? But if we can, it'd be helpful. Paul and Timothy, both of us committed servants of Christ Jesus, write this letter to all the followers of Jesus in Philippi, pastors and ministers included. We greet you with the grace and peace that comes from God our Father, our Master, and our Master Jesus Christ. I thank my God for every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's not at all fanciful for me to think this way about you. My prayers and hopes have deep roots in reality. You have, after all, stuck with me all the way from all the time I was thrown in jail, put on trial, and came out of it in one piece. All along you have experienced with me the most generous help from God. He knows how much I love you and miss you these days. Sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does. Isn't that amazing how he thinks about the church? So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish, that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. Amen. I don't know if you recognize that. Mostly that was from the message, but it's the first 12 verses of Philippians chapter 1. So let's just have a look at a little bit of history and context here. Paul's writing from prison, as we will see later, to the church he founded in Philippi. And he founded the church in about AD 50, and they were the first European converts. So this would be the first European church which he's writing to. Nobody's quite sure where he actually wrote from. It could possibly be Rome, Ephesus, or Caesarea. Most historians plump for Rome. And if it was Rome, then this would make this letter written about AD 61, which is 10 or so years later from the time he founded the church. As you can see, Philippi was in Macedonia, which is now part of Greece. It was an important Roman colony, a very old city, founded in 359 BC. But on that day, Philip II, Alexander the Great's father, he annexed it, named it after himself. And then it was in 146 BC that the Romans came and governed it. And 100 years after that, they turned it into an important Roman colony. So Philippi had all the rights that the citizens of Rome would have had. So it had that special significance. We read about Paul's visit in Acts 16, following a vision which he had about a man calling him to come to Macedonia to share the gospel. So that was the first time Paul went outside of Asia to share the gospel. He came to Philippi, but he couldn't find the synagogue. His normal practice was to find the Jews, to find where the Jews meet, and then tell them about Jesus. No synagogue. So Acts tells us he went down by the river looking for a place of prayer. And there he found this lady called Lydia, and she gave her life to the Lord. Just like those people we were speaking to yesterday. Just gave their lives to the Lord. And she and her whole household were converted. And Paul spent some time with them. And the church was started in her house. House churches were the norm in those days. If you know your Bible, you remember also in Philippi, it was there where Paul cast the demon out of that slave girl. And because of that, her masters lost their business and they threw Paul into prison. And if you remember the story, it's where the earthquake took place and the jailer was about to kill himself, thinking all the prisoners had escaped. And Paul said, no, don't harm yourself, we're all here. And the story goes on about the jailer giving his life to the Lord, he and his family too. So this is, Philippi, and this is where Paul is writing to this letter to. So, as I say, 10 years later, and just notice this, who he writes to. He writes to the followers or disciples of Jesus Christ, as well as the leaders. Followers of Jesus Christ is the term which Paul's using here. Not members, he's not talking about church attenders, he's talking about followers, about disciples. And there's a massive difference. And I want to ask you a question. If Paul was to write to the followers of Jesus Christ at LifeSpring Church, would that include you? Would you consider yourself a member of the church or a disciple of Jesus Christ who is a member of the church? Are you one who's choosing to live in submission to the Word of God? That's what disciples do. One who's prepared to die to your own dreams and ambitions in order to embrace His and live for Him. One who's willing to obey. This letter has much to say about being happy and joyful, but true happiness and joy comes when we choose to deny ourselves. Jesus says that's one of the qualities of a disciple, and follow Him and His ways. And that's not always easy. That can be quite challenging. It can feel like we're going against the flow because we're choosing to embrace the values and truths of Scripture rather than the current values and truths of the world system. But that's what disciples do. So that's just a question to start with as we look at this text. If Paul was writing, would you be included in this letter as a follower of Jesus Christ, choosing to live your life His way? But he goes on, he says, "We greet you with the grace and peace that comes from God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ." And this is his usual, how Paul begins most of his letters, sending grace and peace. And as I was thinking about it, I want us to take it beyond just that customary greeting. I want us to believe and to think about this is grace and peace from heaven that God wanted to, that Paul wanted to send to the church in Philippi. God wants to send to us here at LifeSpring today. The blessing and favor of God, including Him, knowing Him, and us experiencing His grace and peace. Grace, that undeserved favor, not based on works or laws. It was yesterday when we were out just talking to some people in Whitley, and one of the questions we ask is, if you were to die today, and we normally add, you know, we hope that doesn't happen, or God forbid, blah, 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 but if you were to die today, would you know without any shadow of doubt you go to heaven? And a couple of the people that we spoke to said, yes, I'm sure I would. And what are you basing that on? Well, I'm a good guy. You know, I do good things. And the other guy was a Muslim guy, and he said a similar sort of thing. But actually, that doesn't get us into heaven. And it was our privilege to tell them that. They might not feel that's a privilege, but we wanted to tell them the truth. Just good works doesn't get there. But grace, grace and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ is how we can be certain of our salvation. Isn't it amazing? So grace and peace He wants to give us and send us. That's how we're saved. Grace covers our sin. Grace means, as John's reminded us, we're totally righteous and forgiven. No stain even left on us. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus and can come boldly into His presence. Undeserved favor. Hallelujah. It's grace to be in a relationship with God as my Father. I can come to Him boldly because He loves me. As a natural father would love their children, even more He loves us and wants us to relate and connect with Him. But also grace to overcome, to live in victory over sin, to find help in times of trouble. This is the grace which God wants to give to each one of us today. Paul tells us in another letter, the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin. So grace not only covers sin when we do mess up, but not only gives us the energy and strength to resist, it teaches us to say no to sin. And as we receive and enjoy His grace, this is the power of the gospel, we overflow with love and grace to others. We become dispensers. I like that word, dispensers of God's grace wherever we go. We've received mercy, acceptance, forgiveness, and love. So we give it away freely. Isn't that good? We give it away freely. Freely we've received, freely give. But we have to have received it in order to give it. And then peace, just a few words on this. Peace in troubled times. A peace which is hard to understand. A peace which Paul says surpasses understanding. An inner peace which comes from God. Some may be stressed and concerned about the future. Some may be worried and have fears in their lives. But we don't have to fear, because the Prince of Peace wants to come and live and reside in us. Don't allow worry or fear to come in. It takes away the peace of God. Rather, receive His grace and receive His peace right now. And as I was preparing this, I want to say, church, I believe God wants to bring this to you, not just as a greeting, not just as a few little thoughts from Philippians, but as an impartation right now. Grace and peace from God our Father to each one of you. Let His Spirit touch you where you are, whatever the circumstance. Whatever the situation. John mentioned, you know, the theft, he didn't mention it, was a theft, a major theft which he had at his workplace. And I know what it's like. You have to work through, but John came through to that place of peace. You know, you're hit first of all, all the emotions, the disappointments, the anger and everything else. But God wants to bring peace into that situation too. And that's how He's calling us to live. So don't resist Him. Let those walls come down. Even now as I'm speaking, even now at the end as we have a ministry time, let the peace of God, the grace of God flood your hearts. Change your hearts. You might have every right to be angry and to hold stuff and to be cross with things. God just wants to flood you with His peace. Amen. Paul goes on, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And here's a challenge. Keeping, developing an attitude of gratitude. Time and again in Paul's letters, he talks about being thankful and being grateful. And I want to say, church, that's where we should be as well. We need to take our eyes off the bad and the negative and all the things which we're not thankful for and focus on the things that we can be thankful for. And there's lots of very normal, natural things which we take for granted because we live in Western society, but the majority, possibly, of the world don't enjoy. Let's be grateful. Let's be thankful for everything God gives to us. But I notice here, Paul is thankful to God for the church. And he's often thankful for the church. Even the Corinthian church, when he wrote the letter to them, and he wanted to rebuke them for gross sin and bad things, but he starts off thanking God for the church. And I want to say it's easier to point the finger. It's easy to judge and to be critical and to be negative about the church. But I always try to be thankful for the greatest gift on earth to mankind, the Church of Jesus Christ. I say it's the greatest gift. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift on earth. But He lives in His church, and He lives in us. And if we're critical and negative about the church, we're being critical and negative about Him. And sure, the church is a mixture. It's not perfect. Many failings. And maybe some call themselves Christians who aren't. But thank God for His church, for those who are born again, for those who are living to serve Him and make Him known, for those who are living as disciples of Jesus Christ. I love the church. Last night we had a street pastor event here representing 40 different congregations from Reading. Isn't that amazing? All joining together under a street pastor banner to be good news to the people of Reading. I love the church. But I struggle with religion. I worry sometimes that I might be religious, or we become religious. You see, religion kills life. Religion is the enemy of the church. It compromises. It can look holy, but there's no power or life in religion. Life and light can be crushed under special clothes, special words, special days, special buildings. But where His light shines through, even with all of that stuff, I want to bless God and be thankful for for the people of God. At LifeSpring, I'm thankful for cell leaders, for worship leaders and musicians, for the staff that work in the office, for amazing volunteers. I'm thankful for a vision that God's given us, for the Holy Spirit, for every healing, for every salvation which we experience. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the building here which we've taken up the offering for. I'm thankful for the different nationalities which have brought colour to our church and the vibrancy and the different cultures which they bring. I'm thankful for young and old. I'm thankful for the Church of Jesus Christ. I think it's just, yes, amen, amen. I was going to ask us, you preempted what I was going to say. I was going to ask us, could we not just give praise and thanks to the head of the church for what he's doing here, for what he's doing in Reading, for what he's doing across the world? Yeah? Hallelujah. 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 The church is not going downhill. The church is going uphill. There's more people being saved every day than there are being born. Did you know that? Across the world. Just because over here we're experiencing decline, that's a blip. Generally, the church is on the increase. And there's more and more people finding God and finding him as Jesus as Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. And we're going to be part of that. Let's be thankful. Let's be grateful for all that he's doing and he's done in our lives. Amen. Amen. But Paul goes on. He thanks God for something specific. He thanks that this church was partnering him with the gospel, in sharing the gospel. I was talking on this last week a little bit. He could have mentioned thanking you for the gift that you sent. He could have thanked them for faithfulness. He could have thanked them for love. He could have thanked them for their obedience, but he doesn't. The thing that stands out to him is that from the day they were saved, they partnered with him in sharing the gospel. It's like the central plank to the church of Philippi was the gospel. It was their DNA. It's what they existed for. We'll see in another week or two. I think Debs might be doing it next week. There's people which are trying to make Paul jealous. He's in prison. Probably in open prison in Rome, as I said. And people are trying to make him jealous because they're preaching the gospel and he can't. And they have all the wrong motives and all the wrong attitudes, trying to provoke Paul to jealousy rather than necessarily a love or a heart for the people they're speaking to. Paul says, I just rejoice. The gospel's being preached. I'm not worried. I can't do it myself, but they're doing it. It's in their DNA. It needs to be in our DNA. The main thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel which changes lives. It's the gospel which saves souls. It's the gospel which brings hope and purpose, not religion. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. People need to hear, and we are the messenger. Our strategy of saving souls and growing cells is because of our commitment to the gospel. Our goal of forming 24 G12 cells is because of our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was encouraging our staff on Friday, you know, whatever you're doing, whether it be helping get business into the building here, whether it be typing, whether it be serving, whether it be cleaning, whatever we do, we're doing it because we've got a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dan challenged our cell leaders the other day. He said, we have to ask ourselves a question. If the activity which you're involved in is not winning souls and making disciples, should you be doing it? What a provoking question. What a provoking question. I think it should be a test for most of what we're doing, certainly evangelism-y, you know. Why are we having a toddler group if it's not ultimately to see families saved and God touching people's lives? It's just a nice little club. Why do we want to open Cafe 12 if it's not ultimately that we want to give the opportunity for people to come in and we can share with them the good news of Jesus? It just becomes a cafe like Costa and anywhere else. But there's a bigger vision in all of these things. Why do we have cells? Why do we do the things we're doing if it's not ultimately that we can see lives changed and people being added and changing and finding God? Got to question these things. But in all those things I've mentioned, that is there at the heart. And that needs to be the reason why we're doing these things. Listen to Paul's view of the gospel from his letter to the Romans. This is what he says. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim. this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts him. Hey, I like that. Most proud to proclaim this news. Or to put it in the version which we more regularly read, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Each one of us carries that in us. We have the opportunity wherever we are. We don't have to wait for another event happening here. We'll be on the streets. We can do that tomorrow in our workplace. In fact, I was with somebody yesterday from a different church, and I think she'd been once or twice out, and she said, I'm going to take this script into work. Why not? That was her, because she wanted to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my challenge here, my request here, let's partner with the Holy Spirit and partner together in sharing the gospel. And I love Paul's confidence. He's confident that he who began this work is going to complete it. Hallelujah. Last year, Ian and Julia shared a vision. I don't know if he's here today. He saw a dam and there was a torrent of water waiting to burst this dam. And he felt that he saw the finger of God just holding back that torrent of water. And it was like that torrent was representing souls, was representing God's plan for multitudes, for harvest. And yet God was holding things back. And I was very excited about that vision, but the question comes, why are you holding it back, God? And I think, you know, God's wanting us to be ready for, as Jackie's already reminded us, way beyond what we can imagine or think. We need to prepare for a harvest even now. We need to be faithful to our call. God is going to complete that which he started. And if we're faithful to him, I believe he will be faithful to us and his word, and we will see amazing things. But we need to respond at this moment in time, and I believe it's a time for prepare. We need more cells. We need to care for, so that we can care for and disciple the harvest of souls God wants to give us. The reason for this building wasn't just to have a nice little building on, become a church all of a sudden. The reason for this building is to share the gospel and the gospel from this place. God wants to do more than we can imagine. And he who started that work will complete it. I'm claiming that promise that Paul gave to the Philippians. It didn't start 30, 40 years ago when we started. That work started before then. The founders of LifeSpring, they were men of the Spirit. They'd tasted and seen something. They'd come out of that charismatic movement, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And over the years, visions developed and refined and maybe got clearer. It all started way back then, and he's going to complete it because he's got plans and purposes for you. So I want to encourage you. Let's be faithful to God. Let's be faithful to the call of God, because he who started that good work will complete it. There's going to be challenges, going to be disappointments. There's going to be times when maybe cell leaders think, oh dear, I've just won three people here and now two of them have left, you know, and you just think, you know, what? But we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. And we're going to be faithful. We're going to form teams of 12. We're going to have cells where people can be discipled and cared for. We're going to release evangelists. We're going to see more and more people touched by the power of God, because we're committed to the gospel and we believe that he who started this good work is going to complete it. Hallelujah. So in closing, just my little summary. Actually, firstly, it would be disciples or members, but here we go. First, receive his grace and peace, even today. I want to invite you, as we close in a moment or two, if you struggling in life, if there's concerns and if there's worries, Jesus says, worrying's not going to do anything for you. It just makes things worse. You know, so I want to invite you to come. Come for ministry at the end. And let the peace of God, the grace of God, touch your life. And then give it away to others. Give it away to others. Be thankful. Be thankful. Gratitude is an attitude. But thank God for the church. Thank God for the cells. Thank God for your friends. But even bigger than that, thank God for the church across Reading. Thank God for what he's doing through the Church of Jesus Christ. commit to be partnering together and with the Holy Spirit in the gospel. Let's make that, just as it was in Philippi, our central plank too. It's all about sharing the good news and making him known. And then fourthly, the promise, if we are faithful, he will complete that which he started. Hallelujah. And all of the glory goes to him through his church. Amen. Amen. Would you like to stand? I'd like to pray. Then I'm going to ask Jackie just to come and share opportunity for the gospel. And Lord, I want to say what an amazing God you are. Last week we were looking at big God, big vision. Lord, you're such a big God that's chosen people like us here in this place to serve you, to partner with you. I thank you, Lord, that you want to pour grace and peace into our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you want to put the gospel at the heart of what we're doing. Most of us will be out of work tomorrow, and it might seem, well, where does the gospel fit in? But we take the gospel to the workplace. We take it to schools. We take it wherever we go. We look for those opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of the gospel. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've promised that you who've started this good work are going to complete it. Lord, we want to be faithful to your call on our lives as individuals and as a church. Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you empower us, you anoint us, that together in unity and agreement, we go forward from this place, partnering with you to see you glorified, to see you honored in this town and in this nation. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. You're an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.